Good morning and Happy New Year to everyone. If it's Happy New Year, that means it's January 1st. And if it's January 1st, I don't see Bethany in here, but it is her birthday, so make sure we express a happy birthday to her. She's probably out with the kids right now, but happy birthday to her. My name is Kent. For some that are visiting this morning, Dion is our normal, there she is. On the count of three, everyone say happy birthday, Bethany, with me. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday, Bethany. She's shy. Dion Fraser, our normal pulpit minister, is traveling this week, so I'm covering for him. Perry was nice enough to help me hook this thing up, which is kind of weird if you've never worn one of these things. The technology is kind of amazing how small it is, but I didn't realize that Dion has the capability of speaking into my ear. So he's kind of prompting me sometimes for, yes, I know Dion. He says Happy New Year, by the way. So I'll try not to let that distract me this morning. So Happy New Year. It's a time of reflect on the previous year, as many of us have talked about this morning, and resolutions. And I have to kind of agree with Nicole, or V and Nick was talking about Nicole, that I've kind of got mixed feelings about resolutions each year, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But just by a show of hands, how many of you routinely set New Year resolutions each year? Just by a show of hands, please be honest. There's no right or wrong answer here. Let me see these show of hands. Come on. Okay, it's about 42%. Okay, that's good to know. So it's interesting. I was doing some research. University of Scranton, I'm citing their study here. I didn't even know there was a university there, but apparently there is. That the top 10 New Year's resolutions over the past 3 years have been, I'm just going to list a few of these off: lose weight, getting organized, spend less, save more, enjoy life to the fullest, staying fit and healthy, learn something exciting, quit smoking, help others in achieving their dreams, fall in love, and spend more time with family. Those are just the top 10 right there. According to this study, it was kind of interesting that 45% of Americans claim that they make a resolution, so we were fairly well representative of that official study that I did with an amazing amount of accuracy, of 42%. Of that 45%, 1 in 8 claim that they actually achieve their goals. Perhaps the reason for that low success rate is that when you think about some of those resolutions, the ones I just stated, they're probably lacking some specificity, they may be unachievable, or they may be difficult to measure for progress. And so it kind of brings me back to the point I was trying to make earlier that, you know, just being honest, I can't consider myself really a proponent of New Year's resolutions. It's not because it's not a good thing. I just, the frequency of every year, I don't think it's frequent enough for us to be setting goals and reevaluating goals, making priorities based upon those goals. Probably is no big surprise. I'm a huge proponent of being a goal setter. I would say I'm in a perpetual state of setting goals, achieving some goals, failing at some goals, resetting or recalibrating goals. It's just one of those things that I do. I don't know if it's because growing up in a sports family and always being around, wanting to push myself and doing different things. And I have goals of different types. I have daily goals. I have, if you spend any time with me, you've probably heard me talk about, you know, three daily goals that I have. And I can't really claim authorship of those. It was actually inspired by Jimmy Valvano. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was a basketball coach back in the early 90s, North Carolina State. A lot of times, so they just referred to him as Jimmy V. He provided a really inspiring speech at the ESPY Awards in 1993, about two and a half months before he died from cancer. And in that speech, and I've kind of adopted this in my own life, that every day I try to laugh really hard, learn something new, and to show love to someone else in my life. And it's kind of the three L's, I call it: learn, laugh, and love. And, you know, I don't achieve those every day. And I usually try to assess every night and kind of take an inventory of what just happened. And a lot of times I have missed opportunities. And so I try to reevaluate. I try to improve the next day and look for those opportunities to try to do it. So it's a nice way to always be setting goals. But again, I thought this morning, as Justin and a couple others had described, this is typically a time of the year we take to evaluate in front of us and also go out and look forward. And my goal this morning, being in front of you, is to share some perspective about goal setting in general, and also as Christians, why I believe it's spiritual and it's biblical for us to be goal setters, and also talk a little bit about how God reveals his will to us. And also kind of end it with some tips in how to be a more effective goal setter in your life. So let's talk about goals, a little bit of definition behind goals. Very simply, they're just a description of a desired outcome that we'd like to see in the future. I like to think of goals as a map that kind of points our lives in the direction and it can show us progress as we're pushing forward towards our God-given purpose. Without them, we can wander aimlessly in our lives and without knowing where to go. There's a quote out there that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. How many of you have heard that before? I'm not sure who the author is. I like to attribute it to Foghorn Leghorn, basically because it sounds like something he would say. I'm not sure exactly who said it, nor am I going to try to do Foghorn's voice for you. But I think it says a lot about it. We all need to have some type of goals or something in front of our life that's pushing us, especially towards God's given purpose for us. Many times you'll hear me talk, I'll interchangeably use the term goal and plan. Today, as I'm talking to you about goals and plans, I do use those back and forth. Goal is kind of the outcome, and the plan is the how. It's the who, the what, by when, and everything in order to accomplish that goal. So let's talk about sometimes I've heard from some people sometimes that, you know, many people wrongly think that goal setting is unspiritual because it shows a lack of trust, that maybe it's not right to plan, that instead we should be waiting for God to lead them. Granted, God doesn't want us forging ahead in pride without relying upon him for direction, for instruction. But neither does he want us just sitting idly by without acting. Because he's given us gifts and he's given us talents. And he's also said that we are called to do good works. And what I wanted to do is read three different passages for you from the Bible that I think set up the discussion around why setting goals is a spiritual thing. The first one's going to come from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, here it comes, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're designed to do. You know, sometimes I know we're human beings, B-E for B, but we're also designed to do. And God has a plan for each and every one of us. The next passage is in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to us, each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. We all have unique gifts from God that do serve a purpose. And kind of going back to Perry's point this morning, we are the hands and feet of God, and that's what we're expected to be doing. Last one I want to read to you is from the book of Luke, and this is from one of Jesus' parables. And he's talking about the cost of following Jesus, but he's illustrating building of a tower that implies that it's a good thing to plan and to set goals. So Luke 14, verses 28 through 30. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." So Jesus believes it's good for us to plan and have goals. Proverbs 21:5 also yield some wisdom to us where it says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." So forging ahead without seeking God or sitting back and doing nothing, both can stem from a fear or a lack of faith. The Bible teaches against both extremes, never setting goals and setting goals with no thought of God at all. And I think you'd agree, normally the answer lies within. You know, the balanced alternative, I believe, is found in James 4:15, where it says, "Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." It's good to make plans. It's good to make goals as long as we leave room for God to inspire and change our plans. The next part of this is I wanted to spend some time talking about how God's will is revealed to us. Show of hands, how many people have sometimes struggled with trying to know what is the right way or what is the right decision to make in my life with something? And I almost should see everyone's hand in this case. I think at some point in time, we've all struggled with that, right? Wanting to seek God's will and trying to figure out, hey, I'm at a big decision point in my life. What am I supposed to do here? I think what I've learned that how God reveals his will to us is sometimes limited and progressive. Our goals sometimes have to change. Wait, what? Did Kent just say that God is limited and progressive? No, I said is how he reveals his will to us can be limited and progressive. I've learned that many times in life, God hasn't revealed a perfect plan, at least to me. I'm not saying that he can't or that he hasn't to others. I firmly believe, and as we read earlier, that he does have a plan for each of us. I also believe that he's created us with a free will choice in how we live our lives. In many cases, we can come to big decisions in our life, whether it be college, type of job we're gonna have, the spouse that we're gonna meet, where we're supposed to live. And we may not be feeling an overwhelming direction from God saying, choose door number one. I believe in a lot of cases, if we have, let's say, three doors in front of us, a choice, door number one, door number two, and door number three. If all those alternatives or doors are leading to a path that's still within your God-given purpose and God's plan for you, it may very well be that either of those doors is fine. And that's where we may not feel like there's an overwhelming sense of direction. I also believe that if one of those doors is not in God's plan, and if you're seeking God's plan, that door's gonna get closed. Also, by a show of hands, how many times has that happened in your life where you thought there's a right path and a door closed? You know it when it happens. And I think that's God's way of saying, nope, uh-uh. But sometimes I may, you know, God may be silent, and either one of those doors, other doors, may be still acceptable and take you along his path. I think back to, and I'm kind of thinking about our teens, our youth at this point, because I was thinking back to when I was 17 or 18 years old, and not really knowing what I was gonna be doing, it can be kind of overwhelming. And I guess I just wanna encourage you that it's okay not to have everything laid out right now. I never once heard from God or got a direction when I was younger that, hey, I'm supposed to go to the Naval Academy, I'm supposed to study engineering, I'm supposed to graduate, move to Charleston, South Carolina, meet my spouse, serve there for 3.5 years, be in the Navy for 9.5 years, then move back to Ohio, specifically moving back to Columbus, have 2 wonderful boys, and then be here in this family at Reynoldsburg. Now, I'm not saying that wasn't the plan, but that certainly wasn't revealed to me, and I kind of had to take it one step at a time. So I just want to encourage the youth, as you're thinking about your future, may not have a perfect plan, but I think God will be with you through that whole process and will guide you through those doors. And trust me, if you're seeking God's will and his plan, he'll close doors that aren't meant for you, and he'll open ones that are right there for you. So shifting gears now a little bit towards, so what does it mean? I wanted to give you some practical tips that I've learned about goal setting, but I also wanted to set a context of, from a Christian perspective, what does it mean? And a friend of mine many years ago shared with me this illustration of that each of us as Christians are built and designed by God in special ways, but there's basically 4 parts of our life. 4 parts that we have roles that we have responsibilities in. And they're basically around our family, around work, around our church and community. And then the 4th one is around ourself. And the illustration always came up with a button. I'm holding the button up in my hand right now. And how many holes are in a button? 4. There's 4 holes. I know you can't see that from here, but what was that? Dion says he's got a 5-hole button. Okay, so I'm sorry, but most buttons have 4 holes. And when you think about it, the goals that we set, when we think about goal setting, some people try to look at the big picture, then break goals down into smaller chunks. Some like to take a much looser approach. However, no matter how you set your goals, it's important to consider the total, how God made you in the process. Now, you notice in these, when I talked about the button, I didn't mention God as one of the holes. I view God as owning the whole thing, right? Okay, I just want to make sure to be clear with that. That when you think about your goals, making sure that there's balance in the things that we do in our lives regarding how we set goals and how we set resolutions. I think in terms of the balancing aspect that if I talked again about each one of these holes being family, work, church and community, and finally self, that if I devote all my attention to one of these, probably things are gonna slip on the other three. Would you agree? I mean, I think we could have a rational discussion this morning and say, well, we should be putting everything in church and community. And I think there's plenty of examples of people that do that, put everything down and put it in there, and a lot of things can be the outcome. Burnout, you can create stress amongst your family, create problems at work. So I think that there is a balancing aspect there that we have to consider as we're setting goals. There's no doubt that God wants us to fulfill the God-given purpose that he's set out for each and every one of us. In fact, it's our duty since he's given you gifts to do so. However, we have to be mindful not to neglect any of the 4 areas that make up who we are while we're doing his work. I think the other part is, I think one of the things that make resolutions so difficult is if, as an example, if we put down losing weight, if that's the one thing we wanna do, or if we wanna get organized, it's lacking a lot of specifics. And we can quickly become discouraged because we're not making any progress. And I think we have to keep things in mind that it's okay. Remember, some goals we're gonna make, some we're not. Hopefully we reflect on those and try to learn from it and get ourselves up and the next day and try something a little bit different. All right, just some final things to think about. I titled this thing SMART Goals for 2017. The acronym SMART has stayed with me for a long time. It's probably not new to many of you. You've heard of the acronym SMART when you think in terms of goals, and it stands for seeking to have goals that are specific, meaning they're telling you exactly what it is you're trying to seek, that it's measurable, which means that you can be able, you should be able to look back and track how it's doing, something I can actually get down on paper. The A stands for achievable, making sure it makes sense. You know, I may, over the past month and a half, I'm really digging the whole Blue Jackets thing of what's going on with the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I for one, hockey's not a sport that I played, but I think it's pretty cool. I would love to play, but me setting up a goal of wanting to play in the NHL right now is not an achievable goal, I can guarantee that. It also needs to be relevant or realistic. I think in terms of how, you know, God's given purpose, I've got to think in terms of making sure that I'm not stepping out of bounds of that, and I'm including God in my planning. Part of it needs to be relevant to me as a Christian. And of course, T is for time bound. I think that's where a lot of our goals fail, is sometimes we put out something out there like, hey, my New Year's resolution is I want to get organized this year. Well, I've not spelled any kind of a level of time by when, and so then I can lose heart and I can be discouraged in the whole process going through that. So let's I'm going to give you a couple different examples here. Going back to our list of resolutions, there was one of them in there that says one of the more popular resolutions is to spend less and save more. A great resolution, by the way. But I think we can agree that that's far from being a smart goal. In fact, we may need to organize that around a couple goals in order to get that one out of the barn. When you think in terms of you know, let's try this. So maybe we need to come out in 2017, as an example, and we write down a goal of, hey, my goal is I want to create a budget for me by February 1st that includes $50 going into my savings account each month. So think about all the, between S, M, A, R, T, how many things I fulfilled just in that goal statement as far as, A, first, I need to have a budget. My goal is $50, and I want to be able to do it every month. And the achievable aspect of it, you know, it's hard to say. It depends on how the whole budgeting thing goes. But you see how that's a lot different than just spend less, save more? Here's another one. I don't know how many of you have had this before. It seems like in the past, I've come out on January 1st saying, I want to read through the Bible in a year, or I want to read through the New Testament in a year. I just kind of leave it at that. I generally make it 2 or 3 weeks into the year, and that kind of falls by the wayside. Anyone else going to join me in that one as far as, no, I'm the only one? Oh, man. So if I'm applying the rules of a SMART goal and also being creative, you can go out and, you know, you can buy Bible reading plans, but I think try to get a little more creative and think in terms of, I was giving an example, this New Testament Bible that I have, it's 400 pages. So 400 pages, if my goal is to read 5 pages a day, 5 days a week, notice I didn't say 7 days a week, because I want it to be realistic. And I'm going to put a little hedge in there, say 5 days a week. Then I don't get discouraged. I may miss a day or two, but then I can catch up on the weekend. Or if I'm having a great week, I can try to get a little bit ahead. 5 pages a day, 5 days a week. It's going to take me how long to read through the New Testament? Six. That's right, 16 weeks. I love it when the math works out like that, right, Clayton? As far as nice even numbers. Also gives me a daily thing of five. I can remember five. I can, you know, say five here, five here, five here. So again, it's taking a broad objective or a resolution and getting it down into a workable goal that I can measure, I can hold myself accountable to, and frankly, I can change or adapt to as the situation goes through it. But I it's not going to be next year when I relook at it, maybe next week and maybe next month. How about this one? May have a resolution of I want to be more involved with my church. Great ambition, by the way, as a resolution, but would you agree that after what I've shared with you about SMART goals, that it's lacking some specifics, some clarity? So how about this? You know, maybe one goal becomes join and participate in a small group by February 1st. I've got an element of time. I give them a chance to research a little bit. Could try to ask others about which small groups to join. That is a way then to really measure yourself versus how to get involved with the church. Or another one I'd like to challenge at least our church with is we spend a lot of time here every Sunday morning together and then also Wednesdays. But I think it certainly would be beneficial to us if we also spend more time getting to know each other outside of church. And so maybe as a personal goal we can make is to, you know, meet with, have dinner with, have lunch, have coffee with at least one of the family once a month. I'm throwing that out there just as a suggestion. I'm not saying to do that, although it would be great if you did. Do you see how those are more realistic goals towards an end objective of being more involved at church? What do you think? Make sense? It's really not rocket science at all, and I thought today would be a good opportunity to share this with you. It's something that's inspired me a lot as far as around having smart goals, and I thought it fit well with the time of the year around resolutions. It's one way to make resolutions more effective, give you a better chance of success if you can boil those big chunks down into smaller chunks that can lead you along the way. And again, just a couple things to reiterate. God desires us to be involved, to be doers, but also within the context of our God-given purpose and his will set out for us. So he doesn't want us just sitting back waiting for him to tell us, but he also doesn't want us being rogue out there and just kind of setting this whole course for us. So hopefully you'll find this lesson helpful and inspiring in terms of you and making progress in 2017. Think smart goals, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. Write them down. And if you're not meeting the goals, don't get discouraged. Make adjustments and keep pushing. With that, come to the end of the lesson. Part of the invitation this morning, a great resolution you can have is if you've not accepted Jesus or accepted him into your heart as the Lord and Savior. I can't think of a better resolution to have in one's life to do that. So as we come to the end of this and as we start singing, part of the invitation is if you would like to make that step in faith and belief and accept Jesus as your Savior, we'd love to have you come forward. Or if you just need prayers, please come forward now as we sing.